ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Sometimes people's thinking and communication styles are so different to your own that it can feel like they're from another planet. And when those people are your in-laws, it is definitely time to ask Auntie. Helping you decode today's in-law culture clash, welcome to author and associate editor at Guardian Australia, Brady Jabor, and head writer for Gruen on the ABC, James Colley. Brady and James, let's get welcome to Auntie.
Hello, thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Hello. I know you both have in-laws, so tread carefully. Let's get to our letter writer, 36-year-old mom Rachel. Let's kick off with what Rachel has to say. She says, my parents and I are incredibly close. We communicate easily about our emotions and are generally aligned in our thinking, which means navigating grandparent childcare, which they do a lot, has always been very easy and guilt-free. My partner's family lives in the UK and are about as far away from my family in terms of how they do things as they are in distance. But this month, because my parents were off duty for medical reasons, I suggested we invite my partner's mum to fly over and help fill the massive childcare gap. Initially, my partner was reluctant because of what he called our difficult relationship. And it's true that on past visits, I'd found her comments about my, quote, strong opinions and our daughter's, quote, out of control nature pretty frustrating. But I definitely wouldn't call our relationship difficult. I mean, what's a few snarky comments between family? And I figured my mother-in-law felt the same way because a call was made and a few days later, Marge was moving into the room next door for a six-week stay. Okay, Bridie, Rachel's given us a lot of detail. What's standing out to you?
Two things are standing out to me. One, I'm getting the impression that Rachel thinks that her way is the right way to communicate and that her family does it in the correct way and her in-laws do it in an incorrect way. And the other thing that stands out to me is that is a massive ask of your mother-in-law who lives on the other side of the world to come and live with you for 6 weeks. What a huge thing to ask someone of. And what a generous thing for her to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. James, thoughts thus far. Are you seeing any orange or red flags?
Yeah, I think that you have to understand that the comments you have heard from your mother-in-law through your husband are the ones that he has allowed past the keeper. And if those are the nice ones you have heard, the ones you haven't heard, like if he's saying, oh, I don't know about our relationship here, it's because there is more information going to one side of this relationship than the other.
Okay, so at this stage, you feel like Rachel's kind of missing the not reading the room.
Yeah, a little bit. I think like it could just be, you know, English culture clash of that level, but I feel like she might not have all the information she needed to have made an informed decision.
So, Bridie, what do you think of this comment? First of all, I'd love to know what you think about James, but also, you know, what's a few snarky comments between family? I mean, do you think there's more to it than that, as James alludes?
Well, I think that James is probably correct. There's more to it. But also that comment raised alarm bells for me in her not being able to see what that could mean to the other side of the family. Like she thinks the way that her family does things is correct. That's one of the lines that made me think. She thinks she's all in the right. She thinks the way they do things are correct and the other family are incorrect or just have to deal with it. Like a few snarky comments between families in different families, that's very significant and that can mean a lot to certain people and you need to understand that.
Yeah, very good insight. I like where this is going. Let's check back in with Rachel for her part two. So Rachel says, for the first few weeks, things seem to be going well. But then one morning, I told Marge about dinner plans with a close friend who was back from the UK for an extremely short visit. I assumed Marge would watch the kids, but she said, oh, I'd love to come. I was slightly thrown and blurted out, oh, I don't think you'd enjoy it, and the kids would love a night with you, and then went about my day. But the next morning at breakfast, Marge was visibly annoyed. So not wanting to be insensitive, I said, thanks so much for last night. I hope I'm not asking too much. Marge's reply, actually, since the moment I got here, you've been ordering me around like an au pair. I find you incredibly bossy, intimidating, and domineering, and all you do is exclude me. But unfortunately, you have my son and my grandchildren, so here I am. Bridie, please come in. What do you make of these comments of Marge's? Incredibly bossy, intimidating, domineering, excluding. You have my son and grandchildren, so here I am.
Well, Rachel did just describe herself treating her mother-in-law like the au pair. Like, that's exactly what she was doing. She made plans, then was telling her mother-in-law about the plans, saying, and assuming you look after the kids like it's her job. Like, I understand getting your mother-in-law over for a childcare gap when you're working, but if you want to go out and socialize and have fun, I think that the right thing to do is ask, would it be okay with you if you watch the kids while I go and do this fun thing? And also, I think it made me a bit sad, the element, like the exclusion, feeling excluded really stands out to me there, because she describes her mother-in-law perking up and thinking she's invited to something. And so obviously she is sitting there waiting to be invited to something and would like that.
Yeah.
And then told, no, you're the au pair, you're the babysitter, you're just here at my convenience, and I'm not even going to ask you to look after the kids. I'm just going to assume you're doing it around the clock.
Yeah, 6 weeks in a foreign country taking care of kids is not a holiday by any means. But I would just say, you know, on Rachel's behalf, that is exactly the deal that Marge agreed to.
Well, but to the socializing, because I think that I can understand agreeing to look after the kids with working, covering work. But did she agree to be on call 24/7? Okay. Like when people just want to go out to dinner?
So it sounds like, Bridie, you're more team Marge at the moment. James, can you see Rachel's perspective at all?
I can absolutely see Rachel's perspective as someone who fumblingly tries to exclude their in-laws from things in a similar way. You went about it the wrong way. Like this was completely backwards, which, as Bridie mentioned, the ask of this to say the next day, I hope it was okay. That's not how that conversation goes. The conversation has to start with, hi, is it okay if you do this? Because like Grace said, she started describing a really fun evening and then was like, by the way, you're not invited. I want you to take care of these children. And I think you have to understand as well with, like, we are talking about an English mother-in-law. For her to say that speech that was recounted, that wasn't a spur of the moment, oh, I'm a bit miffed, here's what I'm going to let out. She would have rehearsed that in her head 4,000 times, squeezing that out. That is blood from a stone to get emotional honesty out of an older generation English person. How bad has this deteriorated?
Okay, well, let's find out, okay, because we've got 3 minutes and Rachel's still got a final chapter. So here we go. Marge's explosion left me completely floored. I'm already hyper-conscious of how clearly non-fluent I am in repressed Anglo, so I apologize profusely. After that, she and my partner both magically went back to acting like nothing happened. I know I could do the same, especially since Marge is due to leave next week. And usually I've got a pretty thick skin, but these comments cut deep, especially since I thought the visit had been going well. If this blowout happened in my family, I'd dive straight into its messy guts and work it out. But I get the sense Marge just wants to move on because she once told me nothing good has ever come from a conversation about feelings. If I don't say something, I think the relationship will falter and it's on me to arrange her visit. So that will be awkward. Aunties, Bridie, tell me, we've got just a little bit of time left. What do you make of this final chapter? People kind of dusting things under the rug and moving on. Is that healthy?
I think that what you really need to do in this kind of dynamic is reflect on your role in it. If you really want to repair, and I'm not saying that Marge has behaved perfectly or Marge is in the right and Rachel is in the wrong. There's not goodies v. baddies. There are two people in a dynamic. I think Rachel needs to reflect on her role in it and really think properly and confrontingly about the past 6 weeks and how she may have come across, how she treated Marge, and then think about what to do. Because there's even a judgmental tone in that, like, I'm not fluent in repressed Anglo. That's judgmental. You're not coming to this with emotional honesty and thinking about your role in it. You still think this is Marge's fault.
If you were Rachel, how would you have that conversation with Marge?
I would start with a profuse apology.
She did that.
No, that's not after Marge blew up. That's in the moment. And that's also apologizing over one thing the night before. But it's obviously been boiling up before then. I think it's a real full-hearted, proper apology. I don't really think there was a proper apology in the moment that's happened. Or
James, time is short, but I want to know what your final thoughts, words of advice to Rachel would be.
I do speak repressed Anglo, and you don't speak. Go take her out. You described a nice night out, and she was thrilled and excited at the prospect of being out with you. Go do that. Go show her that she is appreciated, and you recognize how these weeks have only been possible because of the sacrifice she made. Do something. Like, she clearly actually wants to hang out with you. Hang out with her.
I love these two different perspectives from the aunties. Thank you both so much for jumping in and sharing your perspectives. Brady Jabor is associate editor at Guardian Australia. James Colley is head writer for Gruen on the ABC.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.